There are three who give testimony. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The gradual of this morning's Mass of the Precious Blood is taken from St. John, who writes about the three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, his Son. Our words must mirror his. Last week, Father Cicada gave us the word on the new bad words of the world today, not blasphemies or impurities or vulgarities. No, the utterly unacceptable words which, once uttered, are unforgivable, offend against your self-identity. Today I have a word for you, as a matter of fact, which does speak to this question of our identity, in a sense, defining us, and certainly indicating what we could do to help others who are a little confused about the question. We are, most of all, identified, you might say, as those who resist the false prophets. Now, we can identify them easily enough, no challenge in that. These wolves in the clothing of sheep, and it doesn't matter if they are in white wool or in black. Under the wool lurks the wolf, both in the church and in the country. This new man in Rome, Bergoglio, refuses to use the word Pope, you know, to identify himself. Well, we don't either. He styles himself just the Bishop of Rome for sort of public relations humility. That's more ecumenical. He is just one more bishop among many. In May, he had a good word for non-believers and atheists, which cheered them mightily and won him a round of applause from the world. "Atheists are redeemed," the headlines read. And I thought, well, that's true enough if you understand the meaning of the word. "Redemisti nos Domine," the men sang this morning in the introit. "Thou hast redeemed us, O Lord." That is to say, thou, O Lamb, hast paid the price and shed every drop of thy precious blood for our sins and the punishment due to them. But that does not make us to be saved. That's a second word. That is to say that salvation is the personal application to me of this redemption won by him. It is applied by sanctifying grace in which I must persevere until death. The world got it wrong. The words that were used gave no testimony. But Bergoglio, in his words, didn't say a single one about baptism, did he? He said, "Everyone in this world is a child of God." And in a sense, again, that's true, isn't it? We are all the children, the creatures made by the Eternal Father. But then he insisted, "Everyone is a first-class child of God." But I thought baptism made us to be children of God and heirs of heaven. At least that's what we teach our children. But not if you follow the doctrine of John Paul II, who slated, you know, for a quickie canonization later this year. He clearly taught that just being here, being born, is enough to get you into heaven without being reborn in the precious blood of our Lord. But to go from thoughts of heaven to closer to hell, do you know the word? It's an acronym, actually, a word made up of initials, the word they use to abbreviate the phrase President of the United States. It's POTUS. Some blog writer recently opined, it sounds like the name almost of some pagan god of Olympus, or like the emperors of the Rome of old. And it's true that the presidents do take their power very seriously today. They and their big brother bureaucrats and the Supreme Court have determined to manage from far off Washington, D.C., all the detail of our daily life. Car companies and banks, and of course medical care and insurance, the very air we breathe. And now they have scaled the heights to touch the natural law, the very marriage contract itself. It's a long and a lengthening list. POTUS, you know, is the Latin word for drink. And they do, these modern presidents, seem drunk with power. It turns out, you know this now, the government is spying on us, recording the data of every call, every email, even snail mail may at times merit their attention. A surveillance state is all set up, tyranny waiting in the wings, and all in the name of saving us from terrorism. Did anyone notice how this news came out at just about the same time as the Supreme Court decision, which in effect declared that marriage is of a different nature now? I think there is no coincidence in this. A few years ago during the last election, one writer commented about the indisputable correlation between the waxing of state and state power and individual vice and the waning of family and virtue in our land. As the state becomes more totalitarian, its citizens become more vicious. And as the citizens more vicious, the state more totalitarian, really just a way of retelling the words of the Savior about a good tree not being able to bear bad fruit. Well, so much for analysis for damage done by the woolly wolves who are our false prophets. Note how they are attacking the fonts of the precious blood, the sacraments, and their meaning for baptism, for marriage. But what could you do? What could I do? We're just little people, after all. Remember that. It's true. And here we are called to face up to the behemoth of this big Bergoglio machine now, and Obama's bureaucrats, and all of the rest. It is an intimidating prospect to be a David who emerges from the stream with five smooth stones only, to stand up to Goliath, that one world church, and then our country. Who would even recognize what they have done to our country, much less be able to resist? It is all changing so quickly now. And we are just little people. Ah, that's the word I want to give testimony to this morning. Little and small, local. That's the key. Our word is subsidiarity. Do you know it? It comes from the Latin, as all good words do. The Latin means subsidium, aid, assistance, help. It is actually the central principle of Catholic social thought, developed and explained by the true popes of the modern era, Leo XIII, Pius XI, Pius XII. Subsidiarity holds that all social and governing functions should be carried out at the lowest, most local level possible. And thus, the locus, the place of social authority, should be first the family, and then the neighborhood, and then the community, and not the capital. It is an organizing principle that holds it that matters ought to be handled on the most basic level, that central authority is there to help, to bring subsidium, that the state is not meant to hinder the common good, it is meant to serve the citizen and the family, and not to be served, the state, the police, the courts, the NSA and the IRS, and all of the rest are to perform only those tasks which cannot be achieved on the local level. So, for example, it's Dad's responsibility and his right to police Junior and not the courts. This is the teaching of the Catholic Church, which upholds regional rights and community rights and family rights. Read American history in the light of it. The subsidiarity should serve all of us, anyone who's got some idea of what's going on in the world, as a great unifying factor in the face of tyranny. And also, it indicates what can be done, starting with individuals and then families. As well, I believe this principle rather accurately describes the functioning of the remnant church in our midst in the days of darkness, the church's eclipse. Rather than creating, as though we could, our own church with its central authority and hierarchy, some big worldwide organization which could never be the Catholic Church and could only be subverted in time, matters are handled on a local level as much as possible. We began St. Gertrude the Great, for example, as a grassroots movement of Catholics who wouldn't change their religion. And while we have passed through one or two big organizations over the years, this is how we will stay Catholic in order to serve the needs of souls. Now, what can you do? Well, there's a lot that you can do. Refuse to feed the monster. Strengthen your autonomy, your faith, not human respect, your Catholic faith, and then, of course, your family and the church in this dark, gobble-them-up age when everyone wants to, and they're tripping over each other, to go along, to get along. Keep it little. Keep it simple. It starts with the family. These are rules which have served us well and which spring from subsidiarity. Don't be cowed by the possible coming of a police state in our land. We brought it on ourselves. But fight it by rejecting legal positivism. That simply is the idea that holds that just because a state declares something or someone to be wrong or traitorous, it makes it to be so. No. Just because the government declares something to be legal or illegal, taint necessarily so. Fight the false prophets. Starve them of an audience. How? Well, you've got to turn off the television set, for starters, I'm sorry. And don't waste so much time on the internet. If you're going to use it well. Study the truth, the ancient truths taught today still by the Catholic Church. Study true history, your country's, that of Western civilization. Seek to find out the truth behind the propaganda in current events. Fight it by respecting nature and nature's God. Marriage is an indissoluble contract for the purpose of procreation and the education of children between a man and a woman. There you have it. It's very simple, very down to earth, very basic. The family is the basis of all. Fight it by knowing the power of words, even one word, to mess things up, promote the lie, or to give testimony. Fight it by using your words here and now in the family, with other people, one-on-one. In just some little way, use your words to do a little good, to give subsidium, help, subsidiarity, to give testimony of the truth. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.